And away we go, taking you home on a Tuesday. It is a gorgeous Tuesday. It's the start of a two-week homestand for the Fort Wayne Tin Cap, so I am pumped up and glad to have you on board for the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump, along with Caleb Hatch, and of course, you're always connected to the show on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line at 46862. Coming up on the show today, Justin Kenny from OutsideTheHuddle.net. And, of course, OPS. He's going to join us coming up about 30 minutes from now to talk about the big news that broke primarily yesterday, although we got confirmation of it. I don't know if it was late last night or today, that the Leo Lions have a new football coach. And, yes, it is someone from the SAC. It is Jason Dorfler, who's making the move over from Northrop to Leo. And Justin Kenny will give us the details of that story. And, you know, I think it's going to be very interesting to see what kind of changes you make with Leo, because they have had a very specific MO under Coach Jared Sauter, and that is run the football, power football, offensive line, running game, and defense. That's been their winning formula. And of course, with Jason Dorfler, likes to open it up, spread the field. Defenses have never been the strength of Northrop teams under Coach Jared, under Coach Jason Dorfler. So we'll find out what Justin thinks about this move and how it's going to be received in the Leo community when we talk to Justin Kenny a little bit later this hour. We'll also, of course, talk to Justin about the latest news out of Indianapolis. Today started practice, Caleb. Apparently that's a big deal to a lot of people.
Yeah, we're talking about practice.
It's practice. I mean, people are tweeting about this, that the cars are on the track.
Yeah, it is a big deal.
Oh, no.
It's like just, Christmas. It's like
Christmas
Eve.
The opening of training camp.
It's a big deal. You have a week of practice. I mean, it used to be a whole month, but now you pretty much got a week and change of practice. And
let the Indy 500 day, hype machine begin.
Yeah, it's exciting.
This Saturday, Sunday, we've got qualifying at the Indy 500. Caleb, you will be there both days. You're going down for the whole weekend, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Caleb will be there, and we're going to send you there. That's right. Caleb Hatch is basically escorting an entire team of listeners. Actually, he's not going with the listeners, but you will both be at the same place this weekend, because we've got four tickets to Indy 500 qualifying. And this four-pack apparently is a two-day pass, is basically what it is. It gives you four tickets to get in on Saturday, four more tickets to get you in on Sunday. So you can take the family down for the weekend and enjoy the racetrack. And I don't know, is there any practice they can take in down there? Because apparently practice is a big thing down at the Indy 500, Caleb.
Yeah, there's practice both days as well. Oh. Not that there will be as many takers by then.
Do you learn anything from practice, really?
Yeah, a lot.
Okay.
I mean, tire wear, fuel mileage.
Tire wear is the same for everybody,
speed.
Right? I mean, isn't it going to be the same for everybody?
No, every car has a different setup. I mean, you got to get the setup right for qualifying. You got to get the setup right for the race. You got to know how to run a long fuel run. You got to know how to, you know, run a shorter fuel run for qualifying, because you put in just enough fuel for the four qualifying laps, the warm-up lap, and that's pretty much it. Yeah, there's a lot. And you also got to learn how your car works in traffic, where there are a bunch of other cars around you on track. And obviously, you have to learn how your car works by itself for qualifying.
Well, and that's the thing is that now there's practice, though. What's the practice schedule between the qualifying and race day? Is it one day of practice? Because they don't get the track every day that week, right?
No. So there's a practice for 2 hours on the Monday after qualifying. And then carb day practice, which is the Friday before the race, which is also 2 hours.
Because a lot of times, like that Tuesday, Wednesday is when the drivers make their promotional tour, where
yes,
they go satisfy all the regional sponsors that they have and go make their appearances and all of that. So, but anyway, we've got the tickets to give away for this weekend's qualifying. So stay tuned and listen for that. It's also a Tuesday, so we got some Tuesday time capsule trivia coming up. That will be in hour number two. We've got Scott Agnes, because tonight is the NBA lottery. We'll find out where the Pacers are going to pick. It could be anywhere from number 1 through number 9. Do you understand this process? It's so confusing to me, but I think now I finally understand that it's going to be the that everybody apparently gets put in and could draw into the top four spots, but those four spots are going to be awarded based on ping pong balls deciding who gets into number one, who gets two, who gets three, who gets four. Then you go in order of the remaining team starting at number five. And apparently the Pacers can't fall lower than nine because right now they're at number five, which means if the ping pong balls award teams below the Pacers, the picks one through four, then the team that finished with the worst record will have the fifth pick. The team that had the second worst record would have the sixth pick. The team that third worst record would have the, where am I at, seventh pick. The fourth worst would have the eighth pick. That would put the Pacers at number nine. That's why the Pacers can't fall below number nine. It's also why, mathematically, the Pacers' greatest odds are to pick seventh. Because Pacers have the fifth worst record. So what the odds makers are saying, those that are mathematicians, they are saying the top four or the worst four teams, I call them top four, but the worst four teams, the teams that have the greatest odds of being one of the top four picks, that only two of the four are going to actually make it into the top four. And two of the teams in the top four are going to be teams that move up from below where Indiana is. And what that will do is it will shift the rest of the board down two spots. So the Pacers will go from their position of number five, having the fifth worst record this season, and they will fall at number seven. Does it make sense yet, Caleb? It's math, and I know I didn't warn you that we'd have math today.
You started with a bunch of numbers, and it went over my head, and that's where we're at.
Everybody right now is tuning out, saying, yeah, music sounds better than math today. Actually, it's pretty simple. I mean, it's not that complicated. Only four teams are actually chosen by the ping pong balls. And they could be one of the four teams that's in the top four right now, or they could be four teams that come completely out of the blue in spots 11, 12, 13, and 14. And so everybody then will be positioned according to their one-loss record, the remaining teams.
The most important number to me, the Pacers have a 42.1% chance of landing a top four pick in tonight's NBA draft lottery.
Yeah, but still, it's strange that as a number five team, that they still only have less than a 50% chance they'll even be in the top four. So less than a 50% chance they'll move up. But the problem is if they don't move up, they almost certainly will move down. That's why the chance of them landing at number five is very unlikely. Because the only way they land at number five, which is where they were by record, is if the ping pong balls select the top four teams to pick one through four. Then the Pacers would be the fifth team. I think that's the only way the Pacers could actually land in the spot that they earned. And by gosh, they earned it. I mean, they lost a lot of basketball games this year. It would be a shame with all those losses, those hard-earned losses, if they go from five to seven because a couple of teams down in the 10th or 11th spot bumped them out. It would be a real shame. I mean, it would tell you that losing isn't where it's at. And they want you to believe losing is the way to get the best pick. Maybe not.
Did you also see this? Zach Lowe confirmed that the Suns and Pacers were talking before the trade deadline on a deal involving DeAndre Ayton for Domantas Sabonis. Obviously, that didn't fall
through.
Really? Yeah, but that was a possibility. Pacers got Tyrese Halliburton.
Who would have won that trade? Sabonis for Ayton. Who would have won that trade? Because we want to immediately think DeAndre Ayton, but man, I mean,
Sabonis was a good fit here.
Ayton
I don't know. Ayton would be a fit with the Pacers lineup. I think the Pacers getting Tyrese Halliburton is a much better fit because it meets a need that they had.
Well, and it also, I think, fits the style they want to play. I think they want to play almost a four guard and a power forward type of lineup. And the problem is Miles Turner the guy that can play that fifth position? because I don't think they want Miles as a four, because then that means you have to play two bigs. And they keep telling us they can't play two bigs. They've tried it for, what, 4 years now, and it doesn't work. And so that's why it's so tough trying to decide what to do with Miles Turner, because if you put him on the floor and you don't want to play two bigs, that means Miles Turner becomes your center. And I don't know if that's a liability. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. So tonight, the semifinal or the conference finals begin in the NBA. You've got, conference semis beginning in the NHL, but in the NBA, Boston at Miami. And I still don't know who I like in this series. I could argue both sides. I tend to think Boston. But I have not been high on Miami all year, and every time I try to knock them down a peg, they come back and end up proving that they're worth a number one seed, and they've got home court advantage. Home court played a big part for Boston so far. And, they've played really well at home. Of course, Milwaukee won two games, I think, in Boston, so I guess maybe I shouldn't say that. But I tend to lean toward Boston. But if I lean toward Boston, I'm thinking it's a long series. It's probably going seven games. Then the question is, can Boston win in Miami in a game seven? And I don't know. So I don't know who to take in the series. Lottery tonight. Where will the Pacers pick? Here's what's up for grabs. Okay, here's some of the top prospects at this point for the 2022 draft. Chet Holmgren out of Gonzaga. He's... Right now, most mock drafts have him as the top guy going to whoever wins this lottery tonight. That's why I think it'd be perfect for the Pacers to get number two. Let number one make their decision. Because with number two, I think there's two or three guys you could take, and I don't know that you fail with any of them. Chet Holmgren, to me, is high-risk, high-reward type of guy just because of his body type. If he doesn't build up, he's going to be injury prone. What was the Bradley? What was Bradley? Do you remember the 7'4 kid out of BYU, like back in the 70s or early 80s or whatever it was? Sean Bradley?
Yeah.
Okay, he was built like this. I mean, he was like 7'4". Everybody was going nuts about his size and height, but he was really thin. And, I mean, he had okay years, but... Never really built a true NBA body. And I don't know about Holmgren. 14 point per game score, about 10 rebounds a game, 2 assists, 39% 3-point shooter. Jabari Smith, 6'5 guard out of Auburn, 17 points a game, 7.5 rebounds, 2 assists, 42% 3-point shooter. Paulo Banchero out of Duke, 17 points a game. 7.8 rebounds, 3.2 assists, 33.8% from three. And then you got Jaden Ivey at 17.3 points per game, 4.9 rebounds, 3.1 assists, and 35.8% from three-point land. Actually, Ivey and Banchero's numbers pretty similar. The only number that's really different is the rebounding. And Banchero's what, 3 inches, 4 inches taller? 3 inches taller, I think, than Ivey. Ivey's what, 6'4", 6'5"? And Banchero's like 6'7", 6'8". I don't think he's 6'9". I think he's about 6'7", 6'8". And then is it Maturin? The kid from Arizona? Benedict? I can say Benedict. 17.7 points per game, 5.6 rebounds, 2.5 assists, 36.9% 3-point. And then my guy, if the Pacers do fall to that 8-9 spot, I like A.J. Griffin. I think he's a versatile type player that plays well in the NBA style of game. He's a 10.4 point per game scorer. I think he can play a 3 or a 4. He can guard a 3 or a 4. So if you need somebody to match up against a guy like Giannis or Kevin Durant or somebody, he might be able to help you there. But Griffin at 10.4 points per game, one of the lower scorers among the guys that are projected in the top 10. But 3.9 rebounds, 1 assist, 44.7% 3-point. Best 3-point shooter in the group. But that's what's at stake tonight with the ping pong balls. Pacers find out where they will draft And it's been a long time since Pacers have had a single-digit draft pick. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. By the way, this was interesting. The Memphis Grizzlies posted on the official Memphis Grizzlies Instagram or TikTok. I don't know which one it was. It was a video. They posted a year-end video thanking the fans and talking about how much they're looking forward to bigger and better things next year. And it goes player by player right through the roster. And you start with Ja, and you got Desmond Bain. You've got Jaren Jackson, one after another, saying, Grizzlies fans, we love you. We appreciate your support. We're disappointed, but that's going to make us work harder this offseason so we can take it one step further and go further next year. But I found it interesting. Two players were not on the video. Now, they had like nine players, but they had two players that were curiously missing. One was Dylan Brooks, which I was kind of fascinated by that Dylan Brooks was not there. But the other player was John Conchar. Now, I've said, Caleb, that I think John Conchar, that if Memphis wants to make any kind of roster adjustments, that Conchar would be a guy that would be coveted by other teams because of his skill set, his ability to shoot threes, his flexibility, being able to come in and play the point guard, play off the ball, play a two, even play a three. He's sometimes got Chris Paul defense, but can't be everything. But also a small salary. I mean, $2.5 million or whatever, $2.25 million, whatever he's making. That's pretty reasonable change in the NBA. So, but I found it interesting that they put this whole video together talking about, thank you, Grizzlies fans. We appreciate you. And they went player by player by player. And it got to the end of the video. And I thought, that's interesting. No Dylan Brooks, no John Conchar. Not sure if it's telling us anything about what the future plans are for the Grizzlies. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. A lot coming up. Justin Kinney, he's going to be joining us coming up later this hour. Also, hour number two, we've got Scott Agnes from Fieldhouse Files to talk about the importance of the Pacers draft pick or Pacers lottery and where they're going to draft. We'll talk to him coming up at about 5:20. And David Malukas. Caleb, fill me in some details here.
Yeah, so he's a rookie driver for Dale Coyne Racing with HMD, and he is from Chicago, born there. Dale Coyne Racing, a Chicago area-based team, rookie driver, coming off a 12th place finish in the GMR Grand Prix over the weekend on the road course. He had an 11th at Texas Motor Speedway, the only other oval race they've run this season, back in March. Finished second in Indy Lights, which is essentially the AAA of IndyCar last season. So pretty talented driver and kind of getting his bearings straight on his rookie season. And obviously it's been a wild start with everything that happened with the rain last Saturday to put together a good result. And he went off track, I think, more than once. So to put together a result in a race like that is pretty positive, especially for guy who's a rookie. It's only going to build your confidence level.
Of course, you know that I kind of take advantage of you being in here with me because I am not a race guy I am a race guy. I love the Indy 500, but I don't have the in-depth knowledge of the actual series and all the drivers, their backgrounds, their owners, everything like that. And so you mentioned the Indy Lights series, the AAA of IndyCar. Now, are the owners the same in the Indy Lights series as the owner he has now? I mean, do you just move the team up, or how does that work?
So his case is interesting. A lot of times the owners are different. Andretti Autosport has an Indy Lights team, but outside of that, that's about it. But his situation is different. So Malukas, that name, so you've maybe heard of HMD Trucking. You maybe seen those on the highway.
I'll say yes for the story.
Okay. Well, yeah, you may have seen those trucks on the highway driving around on the interstate. So his father, that's the trucking company, and they actually moved up to partner with Dale Coyne Racing for that entry effort, and they still maintain their Indy Lights team, which is pretty big. I think they have like four or five entries in Indy Lights. So that's kind of more the exception to the rule, but they've stepped up, obviously, the sponsor for his car, and he's got some talent. I mean, he's raw, but he's got some talent for sure.
And we will have him on the show coming up at about 5:35 this afternoon. First, we mentioned that Leo has a new football coach. Jason Dorfler is moving over from Northrop to Leo, and Coach Dorfler is going to join the program this Friday. Had some conflicts between 4 and 6, but we will get him scheduled to be on the show with us this Friday. We'll talk to Coach Dorfler right here on the Sports Rush. So NFL OTAs underway. Colts officially have signed Alec Pierce, but they also made some other news today, adding some depth at running back. And Philip Lindsay, who he was a Pro Bowler, wasn't he? When he was living in his basement, in his parents' basement in Denver, he ended up making the Pro Bowl, and the Colts signed him today to add depth to the running back position. I think it perhaps is even a greater indication that the Colts want to be able to explore using Nyheim Hines in different ways than just, quote, a running back. I think that Lindsay could be a kind of a 2B as the running back as far as the depth chart, because obviously first team is going to be Jonathan Taylor, but then second team you could have Nyheim Hines slash Philip Lindsay. But then if you want to put Hines in as a fourth receiver, a second slot receiver, however you want to use him, that then maybe allows Philip Lindsay a few carries as a running back out of the backfield. But I have no problem with this. Affordable signing, a talented enough dude to put on the roster. And hey, if he doesn't make the team, no harm, no foul. I mean, give him a shot.
Yeah, it's a very cheap risk for the Colts. And look, I mean, he's got to prove himself in camp, obviously. I mean, that's where it begins, if he can even get to that point. But if he could become a good depth option for the Colts at running back, that's great. When you have the best running back in the league, perhaps, in Jonathan Taylor, adding depth is not a bad thing.
He is the aha of running backs in the NFL. One-hit wonder. Do you remember the aha hit? One hit they had?
Yeah, Take Me On.
Take On Me. It, Take On Me. That was, you don't remember that, Caleb? It's back before your time.
No, I don't remember it when it happened, but yes, of course I know the song.
Okay, so other news in the NFL, the Bengals apparently have 66 of their 68 players that are in attendance for their OTAs. You know who's not there? Jesse Bates. Now, of course, the Bengals franchise tagged him. He's not happy about that. He wanted to get a long-term deal to stay in Cincinnati, and they couldn't come to terms on a long-term deal, so he was basically an 11th hour franchise tag. And Jesse Bates wants his long-term deal, wants his guaranteed money, wants his long-term deal. I mean, a lot of times you play as a rookie for that second contract, and Jesse Bates wants his second contract to have a lot of zeros. And, you know, you don't blame him. Last year probably wasn't the year he wanted to have through most of the season when you're wanting to negotiate your long-term deal. But I think he made up for it in the playoffs and showed how valuable he can be. He was huge, made a huge interception in the playoffs. But Jesse Bates not in attendance, holding out, wants the long-term deal. And it says the plans are that Jesse Bates is not going to report for the Bengals until he can get a long-term deal. So we'll see how long this drags out. 46862 Parkview Sports Medicine text line. You know what I came across today, Caleb, was a reminder. And, you know, sometimes you hear about something and it seems so far off that you really pay very little attention to it. And that is Notre Dame, Ohio State football. You know, it's a big marquee game, but it was so far in the distance. It was like, man, we've got a lot of football to be played because that's 2 years away. That's a year away. All of a sudden now you realize, what is it, 3 months? You know, you're just over 3 months away from this game, and Notre Dame opening at Ohio State
Saturday, September 3rd, Labor Day weekend. And Marcus Freeman's Notre Dame squad in his first game as head coach got off to a great start, but had a very poor finish in losing the Fiesta Bowl to Oklahoma State. But this would be a statement win if Notre Dame can go on the road on a Saturday night, opening weekend for college football at Ohio Stadium, beating the Buckeyes. It's a tough, tough order, and it really comes down to how the quarterback play goes and the Irish staying healthy between now and then at other key positions. But this is a marquee game to open up his regular season coaching career, and we'll see how Notre Dame fares.
Can't have a bad loss, though, because even if you lose this game, it's not going to be like opening up your Notre Dame era with a loss to Western Michigan or Central Michigan or Eastern Michigan. I mean, you know, it's a road game at Ohio State. Just announced today, this is how I happen to come across it, that ESPN's College Game Day is going to start the season at Columbus, Ohio, for this game, Notre Dame and Ohio State. So that will be College Game Day atmosphere. It's a primetime, nighttime game. And, you know, Marcus Freeman, what a perfect start for him. I mean, I consider this really his first game because, to me, it's his first season as the Notre Dame football coach. Kind of got thrown into a bowl game last year. And, yes, Caleb, it didn't go particularly well, especially in the second half. But I kind of consider this the start of Marcus Freeman's era at Notre Dame. And how neat to have the first game on your slate be the team that you played for and then the team that you started your coaching career with as a grad assistant, Ohio State. I think it's a perfect setup. But yes, Notre Dame at Ohio State, let the countdown begin, because that will be, in fact, there's a lot of really good football over Labor Day weekend. The college game is trying to get center stage that one weekend before the NFL kicks it off, and they're trying to take advantage of all the football eyeballs being on them for Labor Day weekend. And I think Notre Dame, Ohio State will do quite fine. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Still a lot coming up. A local former high school basketball player from our area. He'll be part of the NBA draft, hoping to hear his name. Is he doing the right thing? We'll talk about that. We've got Justin Kinney. He's going to join us. We're going to play some Tuesday Time Capsule trivia today. And right now, we've got a chance for you to win a four-pack of tickets to the Indy 500 qualifying. Now, the way this four-pack works is you get four tickets for Saturday. And that's when all 33 cars will post their times, hoping to be among the top 12. You'll have tickets then to come back on Sunday for more tickets. And that's when your top 12 will then be paired down to the top six, and they'll make a race for the pole. It's all the drama unfolding at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and you can be a part of all that drama and excitement. Four tickets. If you want to win, just give us a call right now. 447-8500. That's 447-8500, area code 260. 447-8500. Caller number three is today's winner of a four-pack of tickets for Indy qualifying. Call now and win with the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump along with Caleb Hatch. We're glad you're connected with us. 46862 is the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. And congratulations to Brian from Wooketville. I can just say, I won't say his last name, but I will say it is a family that I've known the name associated with the Kendallville area, Noble County, for many, many years. So congratulations to Brian. What do we give him? Four tickets to the qualifying. That was the qualifying package.
Yes, for each day.
I can't believe I almost forgot what we gave him. We've got Time Capsule Trivia coming up. It's a Tuesday, so we got Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia coming up in hour number two. Also, Scott Agnes will join us to talk about the importance of tonight's draft lottery for the Indiana Pacers. And David Malukas, who is a IndyCar race car driver, and he is going to join us with Caleb. That's a conversation that Caleb had with him from earlier, and we'll have that for you coming up around 5:35 this afternoon. Tin Caps at home tonight, starting a two-week homestand. Of course, we're excited. Caleb, you and I are both going to be in attendance on Thursday out at Colts at Bat And this will feature Nyheim Hines, which I think today's news that the Colts are signing Philip Lindsay makes things even more interesting for Nyheim Hines on whether or not he's going to truly be the backup running back, or if he's going to be kind of rotated in as perhaps a slot receiver, or, you know, I don't know if he's a wide out, but the Colts certainly, I think, need depth at wide receiver. And so it would be great if you could take a Nyheim Hines, who's a terrific catching passes out of the backfield, and maybe slip him in on certain plays as an extra receiver. But the Colts signed Philip Lindsay, a former Denver Bronco. He went somewhere after the Broncos. Where did he go? He wasn't with Pittsburgh last year, was he? He wasn't with the Steelers?
Miami,
that's right. I was trying to remember where he ended up because, he had such a terrific year in Denver and then didn't really stick with Denver. Ended up in Miami, now a one-year deal with the Colts, where he will join the running back room and try to earn his way onto the team. 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. So we got this news earlier today that Keon Brooks Jr. has announced he is going to stay in the NBA draft and will basically end his college eligibility and will not return to Kentucky. I'm very surprised. I was going to say shocked, but very surprised. Because I think you stay in college, you enjoy the experience and get as much out of it as you possibly can for as long as you're eligible, unless you're going to be a draft pick that is almost guaranteed to sign an NBA deal and make decent professional money. And I don't know that Keon Brooks Jr. has proven his value there. Now, here's the one thing that he does have going for him is John Calipari has plenty of relationships with NBA executives, because John Calipari has had plenty of Kentucky Wildcats that have been top picks in the draft. And maybe Calipari can pull a string here or there and maybe get somebody to pick up Keon Brooks out of a second round. But I just don't know. I don't know that he's ready. I mean, I watched last year and he had some good games. He had some games where he almost didn't show. He was an outstanding high school player. Great high school player. When he played at Northside, I mean, he was terrific. But, his college career probably has not turned out as he had hoped when he chose Kentucky, to the amazement of so many, because I remember sitting there at St. Paul's, sitting in the gymnasium where I had played when I wore my Holy Cross Crusaders basketball uniform back in the day. Yep, I was in the St. Paul's gymnasium where Keon Brooks had played for St. Paul's. Now, I know this will come as a shock. We did not play each other. In fact, I don't know. I might be older than his dad. But anyway, Keon made the announcement, and I was sitting next to Trace Jackson Davis and Armon Franklin. Both of them had already made their commitment to Indiana. Both of them had played AAU basketball with Keon Brooks Jr. Both of them made the trip up from Indianapolis for the big announcement from Keon Brooks Jr., fully expecting that they were going to hear that Keon Brooks Jr. was joining them at Indiana. And he shocked them. And it was genuine. They sat there with their mouths hanging open. And I said to Trace Jackson Davis, I'm surprised after the announcement was made. And he said, I am too. And he just sat there in disbelief. And I think he made the entire trip up to kind of share in the moment with a future Hoosier that was going to join him at Indiana. And then everything went poof when Keon Brooks Jr. picked Kentucky. And I think the only reason at that time you pick Kentucky is because you think you're a one and done, and that's why you go to Kentucky. So it was a bit of a shocker. Or the NIL deal. But anyway, so Keon Brooks Jr. has announced he's going to stay in the NBA draft, and I just think it's going to be interesting to see if he gets his name called. And we'll wait and see. I don't know that he's a first round. I might be a second round. Might take a little help from the coach, but I'm a little surprised. Because, like I said, I think you take advantage. When you're playing at a place like Kentucky, and you get to play at Rupp Arena, very few get to experience that kind of atmosphere where people go that crazy about basketball. And you've got that chance one more year. And if you believe your stock will go up and there's room for it to go up, why not take advantage of it? 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. So we mentioned earlier, the news is out. Leo does have a new football coach. It will become official later tonight at the school board meeting. But, of course, it was news that broke on OutsideTheHuddle.net. Justin Kenny is now joining us to talk about Jason Dorfler from Northrop making the move to Leo. And the search really has been fairly quiet. A lot of speculation, maybe a rumor here or there. But how big of a surprise was it for you, Justin, that Jason Dorfler is making the move from Northrop to Leo?
Afternoon, Brett. Well, you know, I think it was a name that kind of came out of left field with Jason Dorfler. But then as you kind of start looking into it and you can see, you know, how it makes sense for him and being able to take over a program with the success that Leo has had, and largely built by Jared Stouter before he stepped down. So really makes sense. I thought, you know, much like when Brock Rohrabacher was the coach before, it was an in-house candidate and Jared Stouter that took over. You felt maybe with that staff there would be somebody ready to ascend to the head coaching position. But instead, Leo goes outside the building and brings in Jason Dorfler, who I feel it's tough to judge somebody based on their win-loss record in the SAC at a Fort Wayne community school, in my opinion. And I feel like he has the potential really to take this program to the next level.
I know we're going to talk to Jason later this week on the show, and so I'll get it straight from him. But in my own mind, I look at this and I see similarities with when Barrett Kuhlman left Northrop as the basketball coach, went to Valparaiso. One thing that Barrett told me was the real appeal of Valparaiso was that it was a community feeder system. In other words, everybody in that community built from the, you know, from the kid programs to the school programs, that you developed players that played together from an early age, and they all were part of that same community. And of course, Justin, you know, with Northrop, you don't know who your kids are going to be until they basically get there. And I think that might be one of the big appeals going to a community that is as supportive of their football program as Leo is.
Yeah, you bring two big factors into that conversation, and their major selling points is one, the feeder system. And Leo has, and largely because of Jared Stouter building this, it's almost machine-like in terms of these kids. They start at the youth ages. They're playing in youth leagues. They get into middle school, and they play, and then they eventually ascend to the high school. It's the kids that you see in third, fourth, and fifth grade, majority of whom you can plan on being there in ninth, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade. And that doesn't happen in four-ring community schools. It's not a thing. And also the community support. And, you know, I'm not going to sell Northrop short, but the fact is, you know, it doesn't have that community support that Leo does. I mean, it's an entire community built around the football program and the support and sometimes criticism. But it's because you have passionate people that really care for the athletic program and will support it in droves, something that Northrop and the majority of Fort Wayne Community School high school programs don't have. And, you know, somebody put it to me best, you know, yesterday is, you know, Jason Dorfler is going to have things that he had to fight tooth and nail for at Northrop, basically just handed to him at Leo. And there's a lot of allure in that. And that doesn't even get into, you know, the school day and the issues and stuff you have to handle within Fort Wayne Community Schools, you know, from 8 to 4, let alone before you even start coaching football. So It's a no-brainer for me, for Jason Dorfler, and I'm beyond thrilled for him and his family to have this opportunity because it's a huge one.
You talked about that feeder system that was set up by Jared Sauter. That makes me believe that for about the first 4 years that Jason Dorfler coaches at Leo, every year he's going to go out there and he's going to find about 8 running backs and no wide receivers.
Well, I would expect a modernization of the scheme a little bit. And I think that's the big thing at Leo, is what Jared Sauter has done is built a perennial league championship contender. And they've won, 10 championships between the ACAC and Northeast 8 since 2009. I mean, that's a machine. But what we haven't seen is Leo been able to take that success in the regular season and translate it into the postseason. This is a team that hasn't won a sectional championship in 11 years. It's a team that's only won 3 sectional championships and 2 regional crowns in its existence since 1967. And I think the real, blueprint you can take is East Noble. And what Luke Amstutz has done is Luke has said, we will play anyone, anywhere, anytime to prepare for the postseason. And, the conference championships come when you prepare for deep runs and you really try to elevate your program in that way. So I think that's the next step for this program. And Leo thinks that Jason Dorfler is the guy to do it. And we'll see, because I really think Leo is a sleeping giant in terms of what it can do in the 4A playoffs year after year. And we'll see if Coach Dorfler can make that happen.
And, of course, Leo has been spoiled with the success. And you talk about the community support, the fan support, the parental support. But we also certainly know that there's grumblings within Leo that they wanted to open up the offense a little more. And it's not that Jared Sauter didn't throw the ball when he had a quarterback that could throw it. But I think Jason Dorfler is probably going to satisfy this fan base, because we all know Jason will love to sling it and spread the field.
Yeah, and he's a guy that during his tenure at Northrop, wanted to sling the ball and throw the ball around. And quite frankly, they just had, a lot of revolving door at quarterback and really never had that player to throw it around and really make some plays. So I think that's the missing link. As good as Leo has been over the last, decade plus, 15 years, it doesn't have the system to succeed in the playoffs. Eventually you're running up against a team that's going to stop you from running. And sometimes it was East Noble, and other times it was deeper in the play, in the sectional. But you have to modernize. You have to be diverse if you're going to make deep postseason runs nowadays in the tournament. So I think that's going to be a top priority for Jason Dorfler, to identify some quarterbacks in his system that can sling it, some wide receivers. We know Leo has some athletes. They have wide receivers. It's all about maximizing that potential and seeing where it leads.
Speaking of quarterbacks, Bodie Dickerson transferring to Northside. I guess surprise, yes, no?
It's kind of a personal situation and what has resulted there. His sister is also at Northside now as well, so Bodie and his sister over there at North, and it gives Northside a bona fide true signal caller. I think you could argue last year that Northside had some athletes at quarterback, but not true quarterbacks. And we saw some great throws from Northside quarterbacks last year, but consistency in terms of decision making and directing the offense, I think, lacked some polish there. So Bodie Dickerson brings that to Northside. If they can get some decent line play, I think Bodie Dickerson can really excel. And I think on the other side, it now leaves Bishop DeWanger in a position where who plays quarterback for them? And it's always a trickle-down effect. How does Northrop impacted by Jason Dorfler leaving? How is DeWanger impacted by Bodie Dickerson leaving? And I think that's going to be a position battle to watch to see who ascends to QB1 for Bishop DeWanger.
How long do we have to wait till we hear a name surfacing at Northrop?
Well, in this day and age, you can't wait very long. I mean, we don't have a true spring football season in Indiana, but we do have workouts going on, and you get into June, and these teams are able to do stuff, and we're halfway through May. So I have to feel that Northrop would love to move quickly. Whether the school district has the urgency that Northrop will have, that's always the great question, and that's even a greater topic for another day on the support or lack thereof of athletics within the school district. So I imagine Northrop and Bob Schenck, the athletic director, would love to move quickly, but Fort Wayne Community Schools runs on their own time, and we'll see how long it takes them to approve whoever will be the next head coach at Northrop.
Always great talking to you, Justin. We'll let you go. Have a great week. I know it's going to be a busy week for you. We look forward to the next podcast of New Track Record, and we'll talk soon.
All right, buddy. Appreciate you.
Yep, Justin Kenny from OutsideTheHuddle.net and OPS. Also, the co-host of the New Track Record podcast with Caleb Hatch joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Coming up in our next hour, we've got Scott Agnes, David Malukas, and we'll give you a chance to win with our Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia. That's all coming up on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Podcasts by Federated Media.